A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The waiting is over. It's finally happened. After a very, very long wait, history was made. And we're back with a new episode of Biscuits, a hockey podcast with a colon right there in the middle. I'm Dave Lozo. I'm mostly Vice Sports, but I'm technically freelance, so I should probably say that off the top. And my partner, you know him. And this is the part of the show that I really do enjoy because I did this on the other podcast, Puck Soup, after two rounds. I took a victory lap as the only person, mostly, who thought the Capitals were going to beat the Penguins and get to the conference finals. And then I may have stepped off the bandwagon and tried to get back on in the final. But that's neither here nor there because Sean, down 2-0 in the first round, down 2-0 in game three, down goes Brown, the man you know and love. Called it. He called the Cap Stanley Cup. So Sean, say hi and please take the floor for as long as you want because you've earned this victory lap. Go for it.
Hi everybody. Coming to you live from the Capitals bandwagon, which is now upside down and on fire. Nobody cares.
Is anyone wearing a shirt?
People have traded shirts. They're doing keg stands. They are diving into fountains. There may even have been one or two alcoholic beverages consumed. We're here. We're in a world where the Washington Capitals are Stanley Cup champions.
It's weird. It feels weird.
It is weird. Like, I've typed it a few times, and it's still, like, it doesn't, like, I keep, like, the little paperclip pops up, like, did you mean soul-crushing second-round exit? It's like, no, I didn't. It's
little like green squiggly lines under every time you write it. It's just like, what? This seems grammatically correct, and you highlight it, and it's just, I don't think this is possible. Change to.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly. And we're here, and yeah, you had your victory lap, which somehow went off course. Like, a lap is supposed to be where you go around and come back to where you started, but yeah. You like took a wrong turn somewhere, and.
Yeah. I was about to get back to the start line, and then I just veered off the track and like went to like a different car, a different bandwagon, and got in that bandwagon, and it rolled like 50 feet, and then it stopped moving. And then I was like, maybe I should run back to the track and go back to that bandwagon.
We were gone.
It was pulled out already, man. I was like, wait.
We were gone. Tires squealing, dust kicking up. We were out of there.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I offered to slow down, let you back on, I think, at some point in the third round, but you did.
I was
not interested.
I was confident in my new bandwagon. I was stupid. Well, here's the thing, though. I got to tell you, I've been holding this in. I didn't want to say anything, but I am really, really offended by what Alex Ovechkin has been doing with the cup, the drinking, the celebrating, the happiness, the push-ups, the swimming. I believe that the Stanley Cup is to be cherished and to be treated like the beautiful inanimate object that it is. It should be respected. You should walk around with what I like to call dignity, and maybe just be a little bit more reserved with your extreme joy of achieving a dream you've had since you were 5 years old. I don't want to see too much happiness in what you call a celebration, quote unquote. Just a cigar. Maybe like a knowing nod to your teammates. Right. I just
high five.
I'm a little offended by what Alex Ovechkin has done to sully the beautiful and time-honored tradition of celebrating with the cup. And I just needed to say that.
I do love that this take is floating around out there, because for the last 14 years, we've heard about how Alexander Ovechkin didn't want it enough.
I know, right?
Didn't want the cup. Go back to the KHL. Go back to the Olympics. That's what you care about. That's the problem with these Russians. You know, we've known that for decades. They don't care about the cup. They don't grow up wanting it like good Canadian boys do. And then here's, you know, the quite possibly the greatest Russian player ever wins the cup for the first time and is happy about it. And people are like, oh, dude, don't do that. Don't be all happy.
Calm down. Calm down. How about letting someone else take a drink from the cup, huh? How about that?
Well, there is that. Like, I mean, there's got to be some players in the Capitals who are like, do I get to touch the cup again? Like, No way. I like the idea that everybody's day with the Stanley Cup is just going to be their day with Alexander Ovechkin and the Stanley Cup. Like, that's it. Like, he replaces Phil Pritchard now. Alexander Ovechkin is the keeper of the cup. Get him some white gloves.
He's going to have the Prince Valiant haircut by like the middle of August. He's just going to be walking around with his hair flopping around, just white gloves on. He's going to change. He's going to be like, whoa, you sure you want to drink out of that? I mean, I did that earlier. I don't know. Hold on. Let me just spray it with some disinfectant first and wipe it down, and then maybe you can touch it. How about that?
I'm sorry. Did you just make fun of Phil Pritchard's haircut on our podcast?
I didn't make, well, technically I did, but someone else put that phrase in my head. But he does kind of have a Prince Valiant haircut.
I mean, he does. I think like next year's Stanley Cup final is just going to be like, you know, game seven, overtime, winning goal goes in, Gary Bettman comes out, and then everyone's just looking around like, where's the cup? And then you just like smash cut to like Alexander Ovechkin in a nightclub somewhere, just like grinding on the Stanley Cup. And you're like, oh, right, we never got it back from him.
The Caps are going to have the first literal Stanley Cup hangover when the opening night starts. It's going to be like 20 guys on the ice just like throwing up. Like, oh,
just leaning over the bench like, oh, man.
Good
for them, except I got to say, like, there is, you know, it's like your mom and dad would always tell you, have your fun, but there is a line and there is a point where it goes too far. And I think that them all being drunk for 48 hours was fine. Swimming in the fountain was fine. Taking pictures of the Stanley Cup in bed was fine. But last night, I think they really did sell it by taking it on Jimmy Fallon's show and letting Jimmy Fallon do one of his lame celebrity comedy bits.
You're right. It went too far.
I feel like we can rescind the victory based on that, right?
You know what? I actually looked into that. I actually read through the NHL rulebook. There was like a Jimmy Fallon clause. Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? I think that based on the rule, Jimmy Fallon has to make the Stanley Cup lip sync a song from the 80s.
Oh, while, that would be hilarious.
While people play a kazoo. Oh,
so relatable.
Yeah, that's because like just drinking out of it isn't enough. Like that's a misdemeanor. I think if that happens again, we can take the cup away. Like if Jimmy Fallon's at the parade for some reason, you know, doing some thing where like he's doing a bit and he laughs in the middle of the bit because he breaks character, then we can take it away. But you're right, though. That
and
really hurt.
If he tries to ruffle its hair, that's definitely. Or Phil Pritchard's hair. Then. So sit tight, Vegas fans. I know you're devastated right now, but
yeah,
you still have a shot at this thing because, yeah, if it ends up doing carpool karaoke, that's it. You're out, Washington. Sorry. I know you waited 44 years, but you've blown it.
That's going to be a thing. It's going to be Ovechkin, James Corden, and the Cup.
We are the champions.
We are the champions. That's what it's going to be. I paid my dues. Come on, Stanley Cup, sing. Ha, ha, ha. This is so hilarious. We're singing in the car. That's my British accent.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's a good bit. Yeah, we should take that.
It is a good bit. Carpool karaoke.
You know what? It's annoying when it's like, the bit was funny the first time, but you don't need to beat it into the ground so much that it's not funny anymore.
No.
Unrelated, remind me, we got to do the Sedin's interview at the end of this. At the end of the show.
Second half of the show.
For some reason that popped into my head, but sorry.
Will be all off-season stuff, you know, signings, trades, the Sedin's, because now we finally have time to do it with the season over. And we're just going to focus on the glory of the Caps here, because we haven't done a podcast since, what, game two? So we basically missed all of the great.
Is that where we were? I was trying to remember that. Like last.
I think
last
so.
Last week. How far? Weren't they.
Because it went Monday, Wednesday, and I think we did our podcast Thursday.
Because they won the cup on.
No, that's not right.
Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah, no, I think it was 3-1 when we did the last show.
Was it?
It wasn't. Maybe. Wasn't over yet.
I don't know. I've been in a Ovechkin got drunk for three straight days. Like I went to the Belmont and went to the Mets Yankees game over the weekend and kind of had like maybe a total of like 11 beers over 2 days. So I know exactly what Alex Ovechkin was feeling.
There you go.
Yeah,
completely comparable.
Absolutely the same thing. Vegas.
What were your thoughts on the last game? Just since we didn't. I know it was years ago. It feels like, but. It was, I mean, another good game after, like, the two Washington games were kind of iffy, but the, that was with the comeback and.
Yeah, 3 and 4 were kind of rough games. 1 and 5 were great, but yeah, it was, I don't know, like, I wanted to see it go 7, because I think overall the playoffs were kind of disappointing just in terms of, like, how many blowouts there were and how few game sevens there were. I just wanted at least
not many
game
sevens and not many overtimes.
Yeah, I felt like this has to be the lowest overtime total in a long time for a postseason. But
I felt like watching the games, like the action was good, but there wasn't enough of it, both in terms of the games and the overtime. Like it's kind of like, you know, part of me would rather see a 5-game series where 3 or 4 of the games are really good versus like 7 games of 2-1 boring, you know, defensive action where you're like, all right, let's get it over with. But yeah, it would have been nice to get some, because I mean, did we, am I right, like we went from the second round on, did we get any overtime in the conference final? Or
was that one Vegas, or not Vegas, there was that one Preds Jets game that went double OT. That was pretty great.
Yeah, but that was round 2.
Oh, right. That was in my brain. That's a conference final. So I thought that was a conference final. I was like,
your,
there should be a
your brain
final.
Has retconned the playoff format to the desired.
Yeah, no Caps. Yeah, you're right. No Caps Tampa game went to overtime, right? And the 5-gamer in Winnipeg. And that didn't. Yeah, Jesus.
So
you know what? I think technically this means the Caps Cup doesn't count. And so the drought continues because it really wasn't a fun playoff. So I'm not going to count it. Sorry.
And you know, they only, as somebody said, they only beat an expansion team. I mean, I did
see that.
Like everybody beats expansion teams. That's not hard.
Yeah, like I'm not going to get into all the bad takes because there was only two of them, and I feel like those kind of monopolize everyone's thoughts. But like the idea that Alex Ovechkin is not doing the cup justice with what he's doing with it. First of all, it's awesome because, like, as someone who has like I've done like I've covered cup finals and I've covered like days with the cup and usually like you know people who win the cup will bring it out to the people like. I remember I was there for Jeff Carter and Drew Doughty's days because they were both in the same place in Ontario. I forget which town it was, but like they kind of did like a joint thing and they brought it out for some people and like all these different events and it was cool. But like usually like in the aftermath of the cup, like the cup kind of goes into hiding until the parade. Like the fact that they're bringing it around like all over DC, like bring it to the Nationals game is kind of like a normal thing. But like, you know, just like letting people drink out of it and touch it, like just walking it around town as opposed to like hiding out in a club or something is really cool. It's super cool. I don't know how you can see it any other way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and especially because, I mean, you have to be willfully ignorant of the history of the Stanley Cup.
I know.
This thing has been kicked into rivers. It has been lost. It has been like left behind. People have gone, oh, let's go out drinking. And then I thought you had the cup. I don't have it. And it's sitting, you know, in some bar. It's been stolen. Like people have grabbed it and taken off with it in their trunk. Babies have pooped in it. Like, I mean, this is that's part of the appeal of it. It's not like I hate to be this guy, but it's not like, you know, the other sports where they break the trophy out just for the presentation and then it like goes back under wraps and, you know, you never see it again. This is part of what makes the cup cool. So yeah, I mean, have your fun. And you're right. Like there have been like 2 or 3 of those takes and it's like everybody was like, I feel like everyone was just waiting for that to come in. So they kind of jumped on those 2 or 3 when in fact, I don't think that was really representative of what most people were saying. But yeah, bad take. Let them have fun. Let them do their thing.
Like I'm less surprised by the oh wow, be more you know, respectful and dignified thing. I'm kind of not surprised about that because I can see how, like, let's say you're a Canadian and you're a hockey writer and you haven't had the cup in your country for 25 years, and then you see a team from Vegas and then Ovechkin of all people battle for the cup and then Ovechkin wins it. I can see how that can bother you. But the one that drove me nuts was the Larry Brooks New York Post thing about how this is the most insane column I've ever read. How Ovechkin winning the cup this year having the season he had in the regular season, winning the cup, being the Conn Smythe winner. Like, he wasn't a passenger. Like, maybe you want to give it to Kuznetsov, that's fine, but I mean, he was 1A or 1 in terms of the value to the Caps winning the cup. And this idea that just because he won one cup doesn't mean he's not a loser anymore. Like, holy cow, man. Like, I understand that sometimes you want to keep a narrative going for, like, the clicks or the jokes or just to be funny. But to still be seriously dug in on the idea that Alex Ovechkin's not a winner and to compare him to Alex Rodriguez. If you're not a baseball person, you know, I mean, everyone knows A-Rod, but he was, you know, he's one of the greatest players of all time. He almost hit 700 home runs, but he was always bad in the postseason. Like, he wasn't, like, really good in the postseason and his teams weren't winning. He was dreadful. Like, he found ways to hit into double plays with nobody on base. Like, he was that bad. Alex Ovechkin wasn't that guy in the postseason. Like, he was, before this postseason, he was still averaging about a half a goal per game, which was, we've talked about this a million times, but his numbers in the postseason, like, yeah, he wasn't 1.04 points per game or whatever he is in the regular season, but he was still almost a point per game guy in the playoffs. He didn't disappear. He scored big goals in game sevens where the Caps lost. That wasn't his fault. This idea that him winning still doesn't matter because he hasn't won enough or he should have won more. I mean, I get it, man. Like, you know, you need to keep the clicks coming or whatever, but good Lord, man. Like, get a better angle. Like at least, like, the disrespecting of the cup thing is new. That's, like, at least a fresh angle. Like, the idea that Ovechkin's not a winner, quote unquote, still, like, that's still a thing, man. And it's just, I don't get it, Sean.
That's it. He buried it. He did. It's done. He doesn't. I mean, I'm not going to say he never has to hear it again, because
apparently he does.
He does, but nobody, he doesn't have, he might have to hear it, but nobody has to listen to it.
Yeah,
that's Let's put true. It that way. And if you're a Caps fan, like, you don't have to, and here's the other thing, you're a Caps fan now, you don't have to get mad about this stuff. Don't take the bait.
Yeah.
Just lie, you're champs now. Laugh. Have, you know, go back to watching Instagram stories of dudes getting tattooed. That's you know, don't, let it go. It's, you know, 44 years of misery, it's gone now. You know, it's go find your new life.
The Vrana tattoo photo is great. That Dmitry Filipovic pointed out that, like, he has the tattoo on his forearm, and yet he's rolling up his t-shirt sleeve so everyone can see it. Like his bicep is not part of the tattoo at all.
Like, did you see the one where he was, I guess somebody there told him, like, he didn't know if it was going to hurt. And they said it would hurt, but less than getting hit with a puck. And then you cut to this video of him, and he's like, somebody hit me with an effing puck right now, because this is the most painful thing. He's just in agony. Which, again, you know, normally, yeah, people being in agony isn't funny, but when they've just won a Stanley Cup, and I'm pretty sure he was pretty well medicated at that point. So
yeah, the fact that he was super drunk and it still hurt that bad.
Yeah, that might have been bad tattooing.
I don't, like, that's the other thing too, is like I'm 40, and I can tell you right now, like, I think the moment I turn 30, my ability to avoid hangovers disappeared. Like, I could have three beers in like 3 hours, and I wake up the next morning and feel like I got hit by a truck. Ovi, don't get me wrong, he's in completely great physical shape, and I feel like that probably helps you not get hungover. But the thing that I'm going to remember forever from this, that's going to stick in my brain, is after, I believe he was at least 48 hours deep into his bender. And then somebody posted a photo. I think it was a girl posted a photo of, like, her parents who happened to bump into Ovi somewhere, and yeah, it was at a sushi place.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man! Like, when I've been drinking, like, if I'm not hungover, I want pizza. If I'm hungover, I want pizza. Like, I need bread, cheese, and sauce. I can't imagine. Like, I love sushi, but I can't imagine drunk or hungover being like, you know what I need? I need a salmon roll. I can't imagine that. Like, he must not be human, man.
Yeah, he's the Russian machine.
Ah, but, like, oh my goodness, just the idea of putting raw fish in my body. Like, sometimes, like, just eggs in the morning is kind of gross to me when I'm hungover. Like, I can't do that. Like, just, yeah, you know what? Just chop up some of that tuna and just, yeah, let's just get that in my body. What do you say?
Yeah,
no.
But isn't that the thing with him? Like, doesn't he eat like a garbage compactor even, like, during the season?
Well, yeah, I guess
he's one of those guys where he just, yeah, he's not human.
He's just wired
now
different.
Now he's not a human. He's with a Stanley Cup.
Yep, that he's completely sullied and destroyed.
Yes, unfortunately, yeah.
Poor guy. What did you think of the Conn Smythe voting? I just saw it this morning, like you did, and
yeah, I was actually I didn't know they were releasing that. Which,
yeah, after
is, I know they're releasing all the other awards, but I didn't think they were going to do that. So that was, first of all, good for them because it, you know, the Conn Smythe is one of those awards where I think a lot of fans don't even know who votes on it. So to actually see all the names.
Yeah. Shout out to Frank Saravelli of TSM because he basically went through the wall first last year and kind of collected all the votes on his own, and then he kind of caught grief for it. And then it turned out like, hey, maybe that's what we should do every year officially. And so now they're doing it officially. So Frank, yeah. Good job, buddy. Thank you.
Good job, Frank. And yeah, I mean, the voting itself, I don't know, big surprise. It was, what was it? 18 votes. Ovechkin was first on 13, Kuznetsov first on the other five. The other guy, the second place vote, every guy got the second place vote that the other guy got first. And then third place, there were two Marc-Andre Fleury's and the rest Braden Holtby.
Yeah. I was surprised that Fleury didn't get a little bit more because, I mean, like, I understand the Stanley Cup final should be weighted more than the other rounds, but I'm not saying he should have come in second or third, but I thought he would get more than two votes. Like, the only two votes he got were from Kevin Allen of USA Today and not that Jonathan Bernier, different Jonathan Bernier of Journal de Montréal. I probably didn't say journal the right way. But like there were two Las Vegas beat writers, Steve Karp and Dave Schoen. I wonder if that's supposed to be Schoenfeld. Or maybe it's just Schoen. Dave Schoen, neither of those guys put Holtby on the ballot. It was all basically like Braden Holtby got every third place vote except for two. But the first three rounds, I mean, good Lord, man. It is,
you know, so that we're clear, the award is for
the whole deal.
Most valuable player of the playoffs, not the final. It's not like other leagues where I think it's the MVP just to the final. It's the whole playoffs. So you could make the case. I think, like we said, I think if the series had gone seven, Fleury would have got a lot of consideration. But
yeah, he wasn't good, but he wasn't. I didn't think he was really bad. I mean, he let up I know he let up so many goals, and his save percentage is probably something like 860 or some terrible number. But like, I can't really think of too many goals where he was like doing the 2011-2012 Fleury, where he just couldn't stop simple shots, like the game-winning goal. Maybe he wants to not let that trickle through his legs, but man, Lucas Biza really hung him out to dry on that play twice by turning the puck over and then not taking the guy behind him when he went to the front of the net. But I mean, it's just a little thing. Like, I mean, if he got a few more third place votes, I would have been fine with that. But yeah, Kuznetsov. Yeah. Kuznetsov got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from Dave Schoen from the Vegas Review Journal. Chris Johnston, smart guy, gave it to Kuznetsov. I would have given it to Kuznetsov too, I think, but like, I'm not, this isn't like years past where I was very upset that Phil Kessel got screwed. This is just, it's fine. I completely can see the argument.
And I don't know why, and tell me, I mean, maybe this might just be a stupid take and you can just tell me if it is, but for some reason, like it bugs me when season-long awards seem to have like a lifetime achievement award component to it.
Right.
And yet the Conn Smythe, like, you know, when Doughty got the Norris, you know, If you thought he was best defenseman, fine. But if you just felt like he was due, that kind of bugged me. And yet, when it's Conn Smythe, I kind of don't mind having somebody like Ovechkin, who's been around forever and, you know, has kind of earned it over a lifetime, getting, you know, when it was a close vote. And it was. I mean, this was, I think you could have, you're almost kind of flipping a coin between these two guys. So I didn't mind that it seemed like the kind of the narrative pushed him over the finish line there.
It just seems like, I remember learning a card trick when I was in college, and it was the dumbest card trick. Like, you show someone a card and you say, remember the card, and you take the cards and you put them in like six different piles of like five or something. I forget exactly how it worked. And then you would know where the card is in the pile, right? And then you would say, okay, point at a pile. And then you would take that pile away, and then you would keep doing that. But the trick was, if they pointed at the pile where the card was, you would take away other piles. Like, it was a stupid trick, and that's how I feel about the Conn Smythe. Is whatever thing you want to make up so you can get the guy you want to win the cup seems like it happens. You know, like Crosby's due. Okay, fine. Oh well, Crosby. Yeah, his numbers weren't as good as, you know, X and Y, but he plays against tougher competition. It's like, okay. But then the year Justin Williams won the Conn Smythe, he wasn't playing the tough competition. He was kind of like the Phil Kessel of that Kings team, where he was on the third line just dominating and scoring goals, while like Kopitar was dragging around, you know, the toughest matchups all the time. But somehow that time when the Canadian was on the third line and the Slovenian guy was on the first line, that guy didn't get the Conn Smythe. So I just hate the way it seems like they kind of play a shell game with who deserves it. But I mean, this year, Ovechkin
winning
is
solution.
Perfectly fine.
Here's what we do. I think the problem is the Conn Smythe is voted on too early. They do the votes about halfway through the third period of the clinching game. And then if that game turns out not to be the clinching game, they scrap that and they do the votes again. So they do it about with about 10 minutes left. I think they need to do it about 5 to 10 days after the Stanley Cup.
Interesting.
We just wait. We watch, you know, watch the final, watch, see who puts up the numbers, but then let's watch the presentation, let's watch the cup handoff, and then let's watch the celebration. Because if that, if we'd done it that way, if like the Conn Smythe was being voted on today, Alexander Ovechkin, hands down. Nobody has any problem with that. So I feel like we need to go not just face off to buzzer. We need to go beyond that and capture the whole experience.
And then maybe like, or maybe like, not even wait 5 days. Maybe like do the voting 5 days later and then give it out at the NHL Awards. Be like, hey, tune into the NHL Awards and see who wins the playoff MVP. Maybe that's dumb.
Is Ovechkin going to be sober by the NHL Awards? Like, that's like, it's like next week. I don't know.
Is it next week? I was trying to host it. Like, once the offseason hits, man, like my brain turns off for a couple days. It's fantastic. And then like I come back and I can't remember like if the draft is before the awards. I forget where everything is. Like, where is the draft this year? Dallas? Okay, it's in Dallas. Like, who was the first pick again? Buffalo.
We got the awards first. I say Ovechkin hosts it. He should definitely be the musical act.
Yeah, you know what? That's not the worst idea. Like, why get like some like C-level celebrity that you got to pay too much money to? Speaking of C-level celebrities, like, I'm not saying Panic at the Disco is that. Like, I feel like they're a better band than, say, Imagine Dragons, who played on the ice before Game 2 and then Vegas lost 4 straight games for the first time in franchise history. I'm not saying that's a curse, but it is a curse. It's absolutely a curse because now they're going to go 3 months without winning a game. So that to me is a curse, even though there's no games being played. But what do you think it costs? Like, I always think of this as an NHL employee who had part of his salary taken away during the lockout and because they had to save money. What do you think they had to pay to get Panic at the Disco out into the fountains at the Bellagio? Because they probably had to pay the band. They for sure had to pay the band. They probably had to pay all these different people to, you know, boat them out to the stage in the water. They probably had to rent the Bellagio fountain time. Because, like, imagine, like, you're in Vegas and you've heard about the Bellagio fountains forever and you're like, hey, honey, we should go see the Bellagio. It's going to be, oh, the fountains are great. Hey, let's go out there. And you get out there and it's just, like, some band that you don't know because you're just like, wait, what? There's a band that lives out there? How do they eat? Do they just, like, what do you think that set the NHL back in terms of?
Too
like,
much.
Like, right. Like, I just.
Too much.
And, like, the next lockout's going to come and they're going to have to lay people off and I'm going to, like, count up the salaries that they're going to let go because they didn't have the money left over from, like, the Kid Rock, Panic at the Disco, Imagine Dragons fees.
Yep. and two things on that. First of all, has anybody checked? Like, did somebody go and get them? Or are they still floating around out there? We should check on that. Then the other thing, though, is, yeah, like the Imagine Dragons thing, I complained a little bit about that just because it was like 8:15. You're supposed to have an 8 o'clock start time, and they were just starting their show. And I was kind of like, oh, whatever. But at least I get, like, all right, you're doing a show in the arena, but like this year especially, it seems to be this thing where it's like,
yeah,
and now we have special musical guests, and you're like, oh yeah, I've heard of them, and they're like, they're 9 blocks away, and let's just, it's like, okay, so you're just telling me there's a concert somewhere in the city. Like, you don't need to interrupt your coverage of this sporting event just to let me know that some band is playing somewhere in the same area code. Like, if they're not down there on the, like, in the building, I don't really care.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no offense to Little John. I mean, I did enjoy his many performances at, you know, wherever stage they dropped him off at, but
I just don't get who it's for. Like, if you're, like, say the Leafs get to the Cup Final next year, and then, like, you know, pick a band, and they're playing, like, 7 blocks from the Air Canada Center. Like, do you care? Like, are you just,
no,
you're just watching, like, the game, or you're going to the game? Like, why would you, honey, do you want to go to the game? No. You want to watch on TV? No. Not really.
No, we can't. The Bare Naked Ladies are playing at Massey Hall. We got to get down there.
But are we going to miss the first period because of the game? Well, I think the concert ends before the game. Man.
No, let's go down to the CNE. I hear Snow is doing a set.
there's a Nickelback 5 for Fighting concert going on. That's right outside of Real Sports. It's going to be great.
Don't put Nickelback on us now.
Hey. Hey, Nickelback is Canadian Imagine Dragons. You know it. I know it. We have our crosses to bear, and we have to accept it. Right. We are
just real quick before we cut the cup handoff. What are your thoughts on that? Because I know a lot of people are into this rating the handoffs and how they slot in. I thought it was well done. First of all, thumbs up to the Vegas fans for booing Gary Bettman.
Did the right thing
a little bit.
Yep,
did the right thing. Like I say, when you're, I understand the argument that they didn't need to, but when you're new somewhere, sometimes it can be nice to look around and kind of carry on the customs. And it was nice to see them do that for hockey fans. And, you know, even though he had like his, I love how people are like acting as if he just improvised his little joke.
I know.
They're like, it was just off the cuff. They're like, wow, he's pretty witty. Like he didn't have, like some guy didn't get paid $80,000 just to write that one joke
2 weeks ago.
Send him out there with it. But yeah, other than that, I thought it was good handoff. Ovechkin pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, there were handoff truthers that were saying that Backstrom couldn't hold the cup because of his wrist, so like Ovi kind of held it for him a little bit there. But I thought Backstrom held it fine.
It was good. Like it was, because this was kind of one of the first times there really wasn't that obvious like first handoff guy. Because Ovechkin was that guy on this team.
So. Oh, no, it was Backstrom for sure. I didn't think that was ever up for debate because he's been there.
No, but I'm saying like there wasn't like some 35-year-old like in his last game where you're like, finally got the cup. Like there wasn't like the Kimmo Tiiminen type guy, so they could just kind of give it to a teammate and you know another star player on the team who'd been there for a while, which I liked. So yeah, solid handoff, good work all around. Fans, Bettman, Ovechkin. Everybody. I thought they pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, and there were naked boobs, too. I'm sure you saw that up in Canada as well.
I did.
That was. I mean, I'm not saying that was the best part of the handoff, but top two, top three. All right, it was the best part of the handoff. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care about Nicholas Backstrom. It was just so funny. Like I talked about this already on the other podcast, but just the fact that, like it was weird because, like, I was watching that. Like, I wasn't, like, looking away or, like, writing or distracted. Like, I was still watching the whole cup thing, and I completely missed the boobs on the first pass, but the reason why I noticed the boobs was because all the players peeled off and like without even seeing what they were looking at, I knew exactly what they're, I know that look, I know that move. They're pointing, they're like clapping at the boobs. Like it was just such a guy moment, man. It was so freaking hilarious. Like an Ovechkin, that's how you know Ovechkin was focused. He was just like, nope, cup.
Exactly.
This is my
laser focus. There you go. This is, you couldn't ask anything more than that.
Good season. All right, we're halfway through. We've wrapped up. We've celebrated the Caps and Ovechkin and naked boobs there at the end. Just want to make sure we get everyone involved, and then we'll come back and we will become the off season biscuits. We will look at potential trades, signings, hirings, all that sort of stuff, and we will finally get to the Sedins because man, we have been pushing this off and honing it and getting it to where we want it to be, and it's finally there. So. Yeah, we're late on that, but we're going to get to it because the offseason's almost here for us too, so we need to do it right away. So stick around, and we'll do more of the biscuits thing right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're back. Sean and I were just discussing classiness during the commercial break because apparently people thought the woman who did flash wasn't classy, and you know she's not a classy.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.
Stay classy. People who still quote movies.
Really?
14 years ago.
I'm in a glass case of, or a plexiglass case of emotion. Get it? Because that's from the movie too, and plexiglass.
That escalated quickly.
He punted Baxter. All right, sorry. The offseason is here. All you fans of teams that have not been listening to the podcast because it's too painful to listen to us talk about playoff teams while your team is home, being sad. So basically all the Senators people that were part of the Senators podcast for the first, you know, 25 weeks of the season, welcome back. This is your time. This is your time to shine because, boy, I get the sense we could have maybe an offer sheet this summer. We're going to have some trades. I think we're going to have some big trades. Even going back to the Vegas Stanley Cup thing, Like, if you're a Vegas fan and you're sad and you're like, boy, what if this is as close as we get for 20 years? Like, that's possible. Like, you may be watching the Stanley Cup final in 2036 and they're going to show, like, old footage of, like, James Neal hitting the post. So you're going to be like, oh, I remember that. And that might be your first trip back in 20 years. But let's say Vegas goes out and gets Erik Karlsson. You're like, hey, what's up, man? Maybe instead of Derek Englund playing 22 minutes, we have Erik Karlsson playing 27. Maybe that's the difference. So I'm pretty excited about the idea of Erik Karlsson. He has to get traded, right? Like, they have to do it in the summer, don't they?
I think so. I mean, they don't have to, because we would have said probably the same thing about Matt Duchene last year, and that dragged on in the season. I mean, if you don't get the offer, I don't see how it gets better in the season. Like, I don't see, when you're dealing with, you know, a big cap hit and all of that, I don't see how that gets better in November than it is right now. And I don't see necessarily how it gets better at the deadline, because if people are not making the offer now, I mean, if it wasn't their last deadline, why would next year's deadline be any different? The thing that's interesting with Vegas is, you know, and then people got to remember, like, Bobby Ryan said that he thought, he said that him and Karlsson thought they were traded.
Right.
I don't think he said where, but if I remember right, like, he mentioned, like, it was out west or something, and it was pretty easy to put the pieces together and realize that Vegas was the only team that could make it happen. So it certainly sounds like Vegas was this close to getting Erik Karlsson, but the thing is, the reason they were the main, one of the main contenders, and maybe the main contender for Erik Karlsson, was because they could also take Bobby Ryan. And then they went and they made that Thomas Tatar deal, which is,
yeah,
like, such a terrible trade. Not just, I mean, forget that you gave up multiple picks for a guy that couldn't even be in your lineup in the playoffs and didn't do anything when he was there, but you just took your first bad contract. And Bobby Ryan was supposed to be, like, he was supposed to be the guy where you're like, we don't have any bad contracts, so we can take one and get a generational star in the process. So, man, that trade by GM, unanimous GM of the year, George McPhee, might be the worst trade of the year, because this league makes no sense.
Well, even if maybe they don't get Karlsson, but, I mean, then there's John Karlsson.
They've got room. They've got the cap room.
So much.
Especially depending on, I mean, they have to sign William Karlsson. But they've got David Perron and James Neal, who are UFAs that they don't necessarily have to bring back, especially David Perron after, like, the way the playoffs kind of closed out. They're going to have room, and it's tax-free down there, I believe. Great place to live, lots of fun, and apparently a good team. So that could be your free agent destination. I mean, if I was a free agent, I'd at least want my agent on the phone to those guys. So that could be interesting to see.
I'd be calling them myself. I'd just be like, hey, what's up? Me again. Just want to remind you, I can't say certain words because I think that's tampering, but I would love to have you gamble with me and bet on us to be double down on. I'm, yes. I don't know, just please trade for me. Please sign
just,
me.
If we happen to hit the roulette table, my lucky numbers are 7 and 6.25 million. So let's bet on those. It is going to be fascinating when Vegas gets somebody. They land some big name star, either through trade or free agency, and then next year when they, like, revert to being the 500 team, we're all expecting them to be that player gets criticized for, like, and you know it's going to turn into this whole discussion about, like, the value of chemistry and upsetting the room, and mm-hmm. You know, by bringing in John Tavares they upset the dynamic, and you know, that's what caused, and not just that, like, you know, their Marc-Andre Fleury was a 9-10 goalie that season or whatever else. But speaking of star defensemen who are 1 year away from free agency, Oliver Ekman-Larsson apparently, reportedly, has a verbal deal. Is that the way we have to phrase it? Because he can't sign until July 1, but apparently he's staying in Arizona. Darren Drager reports 8 years, $8 million a year.
So I remember when they signed Alex Goligoski, and instantly I was like, why? For both teams, both sides, just why? Why would Arizona shell out all these years and all these dollars for a, you know, borderline top pairing guy, probably a second pairing guy. And why would Alex Goligoski, who's probably the most coveted free agent defenseman that year, why would he go to Arizona? Why would he it's his last big contract, and he's going to go spend it in a team that's just not good. And that's kind of how I feel about Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Like, he's been there forever. Like, he sees the writing on the wall, right? But Vegas has, like, screwed up my perspective on everything now, because instantly my first thought was, why wouldn't Ekman-Larsson just play it out? And why would Arizona, you know, maybe not see what they can get for him? Because if he's that valuable, maybe they can get some stuff that can, you know, become part of their core for the future, because maybe they're not ready right now. But if Vegas can just show up and become a Stanley Cup finalist, why can't a team that already has Ekman-Larsson and Antti Raanta, and they have players, they have guys. It's not like they're if you look at their roster going into last year, you wouldn't say it was worse than Vegas's, right? You'd be like, oh, well, they're right about the same thing. So it's like, I don't even know how to judge stuff anymore. Like, because to me, it just, like, I get the money part of it's fine, but like, why would Ekman-Larsson not, like, pull a Stamkos or a Tavares and just let it play out during the, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either, other than, you know, if that's where he's comfortable, and
that's what it is. You know,
he feels like he's been treated well there, and it's I'm sure it's a very nice place to live and all of that. But yeah, 8 years, $8 million. I guess it's reasonable. I don't know. I've always been kind of a Oliver Ekman-Larsson skeptic. Just that, you know, this is a guy, he's been in the league for what, seven, eight years. Never been a top five Norris guy. And yet gets spoken of as if he's like one of the very elite defensemen in the league. And I feel like maybe he's not. Maybe he's a tier below. And I don't know if this is a case, you know, because when I say, you know, he's never been high in the Norris voting, the counter to that obviously is, because nobody watches Arizona. So he doesn't get, you know, if he was in New York or Toronto or Montreal, he would be, because he'd get more attention. And maybe that's true. But on the flip side, like, maybe it's the other way. Maybe we just are all like, there's got to be one player in Arizona that we all write about, so we'll make it this guy. And I don't know. He's going to get, he's getting paid star money, but you know what, once Carlson and Doughty reset the market, I maybe that $8 million won't seem that unreasonable for a legit top pairing guy. And he's, I think he's 27. So 8 years, I mean, the last couple of years of that might hurt a bit, but I guess it's not awful.
Well, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Ekman-Larsson or John Carlson? I don't even know if I have the answer to that question.
That's the thing. Because, like, you know, Carlson was someone I was, you know, a couple weeks ago I was kind of a little bit higher on, and then as I've been reading up, I've been seeing that there seem to be some doubters out there. I don't know. I mean, Ekman-Larsson has been at this level for longer, so I might go him, and. Carlson is probably going to get, wouldn't surprise me if he got more.
Like, I don't think he should get more. They should probably get about the same. But if I'm like, I don't ever really endorse the hometown discount. Like, if you're an athlete, like, you know what, like the Connor McDavid, like throwing back $1 million for, you know, team or whatever. Yeah. Just, you have such a small window to earn all this money, man. Like, you don't want to end up like Dennis Rodman on CNN trying to sell potcoin.org or whatever, because you spent all your money as a player. Like, get all the money that you can. Like, hold out, you know, extract every dollar, you know, do the local car ad for, you know, Ontario Nissan or whatever. Like, I am all for it, man. You got to be like Bernie Mac and Mr. 3000. Like, you need to sell and market everything, because your window to make this kind of money is so small. But I could probably understand John Carlson taking a little less to stay in Washington, because, like, he's probably never going to live up to a contract where he's playing for a team that isn't as loaded up front as the Caps. Like, yeah, Ovechkin and Backstrom are going to get older.
He did a lot of damage on the power play.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, you know, if he gets an enormous offer from some other team, like, okay, fine. But I could see maybe the value in playing out the rest of your career, being a Cap for life and all that sort of stuff, because you won the cup there. It's like he's like the defenseman version of Barry Trotz, where – yeah, Barry Trotz could probably get a ton of money from the Islanders or some other team that needs a coach. But you know what? Why not just, you know, like that, remember that that festival thing where the guys were like, let's just do it and be legends. Like, that's what that's what CrossFit and Trot should do. Just stay in Washington and just be legends, man.
Because it worked out so well for the festival, right?
I guess. The Fire Festival, that's what it was.
That's what you got to do. That's your goal. The interesting thing, or one of the interesting things about Oliver Ekman-Larsson signing or agreeing to a deal, because again, he can't sign until July 1st, but I think this is I'm glad this story broke, because one thing that drives me crazy is, you know, especially around this time of year, but even, you know, in the whole off season, which for some teams has been going on since April, you know, you hear stuff where you're like, well, you know, what about Erik Karlsson? What about Drew Doughty? How come these guys, you know, any word on progress towards a contract? And you'll hear people say, well, no, they can't talk until July 1st. And that's not true. You can talk whenever you want. You can't sign anything. You can't put anything, you know, formalize it and file it with the league until July 1st. But teams can talk, and, you know, teams to their own players, and they can come to these sorts of deals. And so when you hear, you know, for example, that Erik Karlsson, you're kind of like, we haven't heard anything about any kind of progress or even any conversations. Now, maybe that's because they're just keeping it quiet, and that would be the right way to handle it, and that would be good. But, you know, you kind of like, I know up here in Ottawa, I talked to some Sense fans. I'm like, are you nervous at all that we're 2 weeks away from July 1 and we haven't, you know, there hasn't been any talk or any rumors? And they're like, oh, no, they're not allowed. They're not allowed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are allowed. They've always been allowed. It's just that, you know, and you're not going to come to a verbal agreement in January when there's half the season left and you can get hurt or get hot or whatever else. But, you know, once the off season's there, there's nothing stopping you from figuring out, you know, getting at least 99% of the way there, and then you know, dot the I's on July 1st. So, you know, Karlsson and Doughty. By the way, there are too many players in this league named Karlsson, especially in this offseason. Like, we're going to need some nicknames or something. I don't know. It doesn't, I can't handle three guys named Karlsson all being like the major names to watch on different teams for signing new contracts. But, we're going to see. It'll be interesting to see whether Doughty or Karlsson goes first. Like, I'm assuming it's Doughty, because I'm assuming he's going to stay in LA and get something done pretty quick. But, one will kind of set the bar, and then the other one will maybe go past it.
Well, speaking of elite, highly paid UFAs getting a lot of money, Milan Lucic apparently is on the trade block, and he makes, I've got to look at, seven million. That's his number, right?
I think he's 6'5".
That's a lot of money.
Maybe even just 6 million, but it's a lot, and it's too much. And that was a terrible deal. That was another one of those where, don't let people tell you like, oh yeah, well now in hindsight it was a mistake. Now, everybody at the time that was signed,
we all knew,
felt like this was going to be one of those deals that better pay off early, because it would look really, really ugly the second half of the deal. And I mean, it's ended up being even worse than that. And, you know, I mean, he's two seasons in and coming off a year where he scored, what did he like have, like 10 goals, like one goal in the second half of the season. But the somebody pointed this out, and this was kind of interesting. The one thing about his deal is, like a lot of deals, it was front loaded. So he made more money in the first 2 years than he makes for the rest of the deal, and the salary kind of drops. And he's got a big signing bonus due on July 1st. So if they waited till after July 1st to do a deal and the Oilers ate that signing bonus, he's got like 5 years left on his deal, and it's only about $20 million and change in actual money left. So the cap hit is still $6 million. So if you're one of the 15 to 20 teams in the league that spends to the cap, it's a no-go, because you don't want that sort of hit. But if you're one of the teams that's below the cap and you're more worried about actual dollars out the door than cap, you know, $4 million and a bit for Milan Lucic, is that in the ballpark that you consider? Maybe not even at that number today, but now if the Oilers eat some salary or take back a contract, like, I think this is more doable than people think. Like, I think people are looking at this like it's completely immovable. I'm not completely sure that it is, with the caveat that he's got a no movement clause. So, I mean, if they turn around and say, we're going to send you to like Carolina or Arizona or something, and he said no, then that limits their options.
Future Ottawa Senator Milan Lucic. But I agree, because It's
put him on a line with Alex Burrows and
just have him plot around for 14 minutes a night.
And you're ready to win the 2011 Stanley Cup right there.
But I agree, because it's apples and oranges for sure. But I remember when Phil Kessel in Toronto, people were like, can't trade that contract, blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously, Phil Kessel was good and productive and all that sort of stuff. But there was like that whole, he's not a winner, can't win with Phil Kessel, bad defensively, he hadn't won a cup yet and all that sort of stuff. And Milan Lucic obviously looks completely done. But this is the NHL, where all you need is one GM out of the 30 to want the big, heavy, physical, stick up for your teammate, protector guy who won a cup.
Come into
and all
our
that
dressing
stuff.
Room and yeah, like, just his presence will change the, which was all the stuff he was supposed to do in Edmonton. And now everyone there in Edmonton is just kind of turned many of the same people who thought it was a good deal in Edmonton, because that was pretty much the only place where anyone liked that signing, are now kind of realizing that it's not working.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't doubt for a second that somebody out there will be able to talk themselves into it. And I think, I mean, if you're the Oilers, if you pay that signing bonus, if you're willing to eat half the deal, which maybe you're not because, you know, you want to clear cap space and that would be $3 million on your cap. But if, I mean, if, just theoretically, if they ate half the deal, now you're talking $2 million in change for Milan Lucic. Like, now that's an asset. Like, teams will give something up to get that. So I think it's doable. I think they can make it work.
Before we get to the reader mail, one other thing, Kovalchuk, who I thought like 8 years ago was rumored to be going to the Rangers already. Like, that was like a done deal, and then suddenly became not a done deal. So I don't know. I feel like they probably have something worked out and they're just like, hey, let's not talk about it publicly. Let's just wait till July 1st.
Yeah. But he's visiting teams. That's the thing. Like, he's in California. I guess he visited the Kings and the Sharks, reportedly. So, I mean, if they've got a deal, he's kind of he's going to good lengths to disguise it. Or maybe he's just getting a free trip to California.
Dude, it's so funny you say that, because I remember, like, way back in the day, it was Kovalchuk's first full season in Jersey, because he was a trade deadline guy, and then he came back and re-signed. And the NHL sent me out to cover a Devils-Kings and Devils-Ducks game back-to-back. I think one of those games was the game Parise got hurt or something. I don't know. It's all melded together. But at the morning skate, Terry Murray was still the Kings coach back then. And, you know, him, like, Kovalchuk was rumored to be close to signing with the Kings. And then he came back to Jersey and they had the whole illegal contract and circumvention and stuff. But I remember just asking, you know, what it was like to meet with Kovalchuk and all that sort of stuff. And like, did you think he was, you know, going to sign? Were you surprised that he didn't? And Terry Murray said something along the lines of, I'm pretty sure he just came out here because he wanted me to buy him a free cup of coffee, to be perfectly honest. He was like, I was like, really? He's like, for $5? He's like, yeah, those Starbucks coffees are expensive. So yeah, I think he might have just wanted to get a free coffee out of me. So I don't know if he's necessarily really dying to be in LA now, if he wasn't really dying to be in LA back when they were, you know, a burgeoning cup team. So yeah. I don't know.
I just hope he comes back, because it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, he's put up good numbers in the KHL, but he's, I mean, how old is he? Like 35, 30?
He's 35-ish, something like that.
Yeah, 35-ish, give or take. So, I mean, he's at that age where, you know, you're not expecting him to come in and have, you know, 5 great years left, but, you know, as far as what he can do, yeah, I mean, he in theory should be decent, but at the same time, he's on one of those like loaded KHL teams where you're kind of like, is that really, do the numbers necessarily tell you how he's playing, or is he just playing on a, you know, borderline all-star team and racking up points that way? I don't know. I want to find out. I'd like to see him. I don't know. I want that you necessarily want your team to be the one to sign him, especially if it's a big number, but I wouldn't mind seeing him back in the league, because he was a fun guy to watch.
Yeah. Oh, Bosma to Detroit, possibly, as an assistant, just coaching, waiting, just hanging out.
Yeah, that was just Craig Custance tweeted that out, that Dan Bosma might be talking to Detroit about joining as an assistant coach, which that can't be Jeff Blaisdell's idea. There's no way that he when on the thin ice that he's on, when that you want to bring in an experienced Stanley Cup winning, ready to take over on a moment's notice, former NHL head coach as your assistant. Like, that's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. It's like,
it's a good move for Detroit, but it's not a good sign for,
yeah, you know what
Jeff.
It's like, it's like if you're in a rocky marriage and then your wife is like, hey, I got an idea, how about we let the pool boy live in the
pretty
house
much.
And you're just like, wait, what? Yeah, I think he would be really good because he's the pool needs maintaining, and why have him drive out here every day? Because, you know, you can just live in the house with us, and you're just
not.
I don't really have a say in this, do I? And she's like, no, you don't. Pool boy's living here. Yeah. Ken Holland's like massaging him, like in the locker room, like, really? What are you doing? What's going on here? He's just sore from working on the pool. That's it. Like, stop thinking I'm trying to replace you. Kelly. So Kelly has a question. Kelly, reader Kelly. We kind of talked about this, but we can get into it a little bit here. With the news of OEL signing in Arizona, can you please explain what exactly is wrong with hockey players? Why don't they ever leave terrible situations? And it's like we were kind of saying is just, I just think they get comfortable in places. Like that's kind of the trick of the CBA is they control you for like 7-8 years. And it's like, you're like Red or Brooks in Shawshank, you become institutionalized and like, you don't really want to go anywhere else because you become so accustomed to your surroundings, even if they're terrible. Like say for instance, a hockey prison like Arizona. And that's just kind of what happens, I think. Phil Gass. That's a good name. Phil Gass. What is better in your opinion? NHL parity, where any team can win the cup in a year, or NBA super teams where the finals are the same every year but always contain the top players?
Yep.
Ooh.
And you know, the other thing is, like, not everybody in this league has winning a Stanley Cup as their number one priority. Like, there are people out there who are like, look, this is my job. I want to make good money. I want to live in a nice place, be treated well, be happy, have my family be happy. And you know, if Arizona might check all those boxes for him, I don't know. I mean, I've stayed in jobs that weren't great jobs, but where I was comfortable, when, you know, rather than kind of close my eyes and take a leap and go do something else where, you know, it could potentially be a better situation. You never know. There have been players who have left in free agency and, you know, they're looking back going, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, like Milan Lucic, somebody was tweeted around like an interview that he did where he was like, yeah, like I had a lot more fun in Boston and LA and, you know, it was a better place for me to live. And, you know, now he's in Edmonton, thought he was going for a chance to win. And look how that worked out. So, but you know, maybe Backman Larson goes somewhere, gets a little more money, goes signs with the, you know, Blackhawks or whoever we think is ready to go back and contend. And then, you know, Arizona turns into an upcoming team and, you know, he's stuck sitting there going, oh, you know, I don't like it here. And we're weighing him, but, you know, it can happen. So I don't know. Maybe Arizona is, I mean, they always kind of seem like a clown show from the outside, but maybe they're a really well-run organization on the inside and treat everyone well, or at least they treat him well. Maybe he just likes rebuilds. Somebody asked me this a couple days ago too, and that, like, my answer, and it's a cop-out, but I feel like there has to be like a middle ground. There's got to be you know, between the NHL where it feels almost totally random versus the NBA, and I'm not a basketball fan, so I, you know, I don't appreciate just the sport on its own, like just for the sake of it. But I can't understand how you could get into an NBA season where at the beginning of the year, people are like, hey, it's going to be Warriors and Cavs. And then you get to the end. And I mean, there was some drama in the conference finals, but you get to the end and it's like, yeah, here's the same two teams. And then the one team that's better just rolls over the other team. I don't see the appeal in that. Like, I feel like, you know, like the NFL feels a bit like the middle ground to me in that it's, there are certain teams that tend to be good most years and make the Super Bowl some, but there are also some surprises and it kind of all filters out in the playoffs. But there's got to be a middle ground because I don't get the appeal of the NBA system, but I also don't want to just throw 16 names in a hat and pick one out every year.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I might lean a little bit more towards, like I'm an NBA fan. I'm the biggest NBA fan once the conference finals start, because that's when I know, that's like when you get like the choice cut of all the games, right, and all the players, and that's great. But yeah, I can see how maybe, like, I'm not fatigued at all. Like, I can watch the Warriors and Cavs play in the NBA finals every year until like Kevin Durant's 50 years old. Like, I kind of sort of don't care. The games weren't as bad as I think people made them out to be too. Like, they were all kind of close, at least like late towards the third quarter. Maybe game two was a blowout, but In game four, I guess they gave up. And now that I think about it, maybe all the games were bad. But I've kind of come around a bit on your point too about how, you know, if Vegas can do this, like, does anything matter? Like, you've kind of infiltrated my Death Star defenses and found the hole. You've poked me right where I like to be cynical about stuff. But I don't know. I do prefer the the NFL too. Like, you're right. But like, if it's the Patriots in the Super Bowl or the conference finals every year for like 16 years, like, I don't know if I necessarily want that.
But the thing is, you know, even the Patriots, like, they haven't, you know, they're like the team that's always good, but they don't win the Super Bowl every year. And when they lose, it means something, right? Like, if they lose in the conference final or even in the Super Bowl, you're like, yeah, they beat the Patriots. It's not just like, yeah, they beat the Lightning. It's like, wow, okay, were the Lightning good? Well, they missed the playoffs last year, but they were good the year. I don't know. The thing with the NBA, like, I'm like, as a Canadian, I don't really follow it, but as a Canadian, I'm, you know, like, we've got the Raptors, and I remember talking to someone this year because the Raptors were really good, and I'm like, you know, are they like, what's going on? Like, is this a good team? And they're like, yeah, like, they could win the Eastern Conference. They could be the number one seed. They could even maybe get past LeBron. And I was like, wow, so they could win it all. And they're like, oh no, they won't beat the Warriors. And I was like, well, what's the point then? What are we doing here if you already know who's gonna win? But the flip side of that, because I've had people say to me, they're like, look at the NBA, same finals matchup four straight years, nobody wants that. And I'm like, dude, look at the TV ratings. There are some people that want that. They're doing okay. Like, I don't think the NBA is tearing their hair out looking at what the NHL has going, saying we need to recreate that, because they're, whatever hockey fans like you or me think, they seem to be doing all right.
And let's do one more. Adam Brandt, how much is Ovi going to weigh on opening night next season? Over under 280.
Yeah, he's going to be bloated. It'll be a lot of water weight, so he'll...
Light beers. It's good.
What's
for
the
you,
over under? Like, how many games does he have to go at the start of the season without scoring before we get earnest take about how, like, Sidney Crosby won the Stanley Cup. He had one spoonful of plain yogurt and went to bed and prepared for next season. And this is, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, not a true winner.
And you know why it's going to be bad too, is because he scored like 10 goals in like 5 games to start this season.
Right.
So people are going to like compare last season to this season, and it's going to be like, well, he had 3 goals against Carey Price on opening night. He hasn't had 3 goals yet this season.
I'm just looking forward to everyone, like, every year we all joke at training camp. It's like everybody shows up and they're like, he's in the best shape of his life. Oh, this guy's in the best shape of his life. Here's another. It's like, Ovechkin's going to show up and they'll be like,
He's like working from home, Homer Simpson. He's just like, oh yeah, he's in a muumuu.
He's going to show up in a muumuu and a shower cap and just...
He'll still score 40.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Well, folks, that was yet another edition of the Biscuits and the Colon and the Hockey Podcast. Read our stuff. I got some Ovechkin Crosby jokes that I think might be up by the time you read this. I'm not sure when we're going to schedule the post because of the parade. Oh yeah, the parade's today. In case you're listening and you're like, wait, they didn't talk about the parade. Well, we kind of recorded like right before the parade started. So we can pretend right now we saw it. Like, wow, I can't believe Ovechkin puked in the cup.
I believe that guy. That guy swore into the microphone. That's crazy. You can't do that.
Yeah. Boy, John Carlson dancing. I can't believe what a bad dancer he is. That one fan climbed the pole and then took his pants off.
Braden Holtby came out and just stared at everyone in a way that felt kind of creepy and unnerving.
Brooks Marpik just kept knocking over people in the crowd and really wasn't doing anything effective in the parade, but he was there, so he's part of it.
Justin Williams showing up and trying to get in, and I take it back.
Carl Osner's like in the parade, like waving, like he's holding up the juke, he's holding up the stereo, like John Cusack, like, yeah, please take me back. I miss you guys so much. That's going to be it for us. Don't forget to pre-order Sean's book. We're still in the pre-order phase.
Oh yeah,
right?
We're going to be pre-ordering for months. So pre-order, I mean, if you've already pre-ordered, you might want to do it again just to make sure.
Yeah.
Double check that, you know, you wouldn't want to be left out. Yeah. Just go in, pre-order a bunch. Then you can open your own bookstore in October.
Right.
It's like a local small business thing.
I don't think we can endorse reselling the books at higher values, but I mean, you know, if you bought 100 of them, like, you don't care what happens to them at that point, right?
Yeah,
like,
then they're sold out, then they're collector's items.
and the value goes up. Wow, man.
I don't know. I may not know anything about how business works, but I encourage you to support your local small booksellers by becoming one.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right. Buy the book, read the content, read the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.